Let's pray. Father, we just rejoice in you. Lord, we rejoice in the work you do in our hearts, Lord, in our inner man. Father, you fill us with so much, Lord, that you just kind of push out all the crud and all the junk that's in there with all the good you pour in. And I praise you for that, Lord. I do thank you for that. And Lord, you're so quick to answer our prayers. Father, when we call on you, you just are so anxious and so willing to come to us and to meet us where we are. Lord, not that we would stay there, but you meet us there. And then you say, come unto me. Hallelujah. You are so good, Lord. We just worship you tonight. That's why we're here. Father, we're here to worship you, to glory in your cross, and to remember all the little things that you've done in our lives. Lord, that roll down into the big things that we see. Thank you for today, Lord. You are good. Father, we just come now to sing praises to you, to sing about your works and the mighty things you've done in other people's lives. And as we sing about them, Lord, we think how you've done some of those same things in our lives, and we glory in that. That you would be mindful of man. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we stand while we sing? Thank you. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. One more time. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. All you that mourn in Zion, I oil of joy that will set you free. Put on the from Zion's hill. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Verse 1. All you that mourn in Zion, I have authority to appoint unto you in Zion. heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, against us we'll stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory. The battle belongs to the Lord. He'll raise up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. Do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption draws near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory. Hard, do not fear, the battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption draws near. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power.
Man is like to sing that song. I like to hear him sing it. Dan, I could see Danny just through the shoulders here. Boy, he was really going at it. Hallelujah. You have a request.
I don't know it. Bob, do you know it? Steve, do you know that song? Have you ever heard it? Where did you hear it?
I've never done it. It's not hard. It's not. There's nothing hard. Okay, number 80. Number 80.
Oh, the wonder when Christ found me, and He won me by His grace. Things of time to me could never
good song. Pretty good song.
I enjoyed you guys singing. That was really pretty. Thanks. That was really pretty. Anybody else? Ruth.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
Ruth, can I ask you, why don't you turn around and talk to them? Because Bob's having a hard time there. Tell them again about the forensics. What Bethany was involved in that? Do you know what it is? Tell them what it is so they know what she's doing. If you ever heard in a movie something about a forensic specialist being called in court, it's a person who has the knowledge of that subject and is able to present it legally to the courts in an orderly manner for a witness. So it's somebody that knows how to speak precisely, concisely, and to the point. Not a lot of ums and ahs and that kind of stuff. We're going to have the offering right now.
I'm going to live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I have decided that being good is just a fable. I just can't because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. There's a wealth of things that I confess. Deep inside, I never changed. I guess I've been deceived. But the voice inside kept telling me that I changed by and by. But the Spirit made it clear to me that kind of lies a lie. I had decided I'm going to live like a believer. Put my back on the deceiver. I just can't cause I'm not able. I'm gonna leave it to the Lord. So forget the game of being good and hear some righteous pain. But the only good inside your heart is the good that Jesus brings. When the world begins to see it change, don't expect them to applaud. Just keep your eyes on Him and say, I've become the Word of God. I had decided gonna live like a believer, turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided that feeling good is just a fable. I just can't cause I'm not able. I'm gonna leave it to the Lord. There's a wealth of things that I confess. I said that I believe. But deep inside I never changed. I
guess I've been deceived. But a voice inside kept telling me that I changed my mind, but the Spirit made it clear to me that I'm the lie, the lie. I had decided I'm going to live like a believer, put my back on the deceiver. I'm going to live what I believe. I had decided that being good is just a fable. I just can't cause I'm not able.
Where's the boots?
You did good, Paula Rose. You did good. Well, I spent a while down there this afternoon, so hallelujah. Kyle. The last couple times I've been up here leading, he apparently has had his hand up and I've missed him every time. So as he was sitting down before, he said, I'm next.
$299. Right. I said, Redeemer, thine, I'm lost. Thine for the sinner, paid all his dues. Sweet for your soul, with the blood that was passed. she had said to me, I asked her how she was. She was with Betty Van inside and behind me. And she says, my legs are hurting me. And so, you know, I told her that I was praying for her. And when the service began, it was stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in me. Yeah, it was so strong in me to stand up and ask. And when I asked, you see, I thought he was talking about the thing behind me. So when I proceeded to say, and when that lady in the back stood up and walked forward, no one knew this, but I was talking to a woman, and I said, Lord, there's the one behind me. And he said to me, I knew you're choosing Joe, not you. So while you were up there praying, can you call my name? The Lord was showing me some powerful things. And I didn't hear my name called right away. And I said, oh, yes, Lord. How could I have ever thought that? And I asked for forgiveness. And he was showing me these beautiful things. And then I said to him, and he said, you want to come and pray over her, Joan? And I said, oh, Lord, yes, I want to pray over her, woman that you chose. And I put my arms around her today, and I said, you see, the Lord, I kind of doubted it when I left that day. I went over to a lady's house, a friend of mine, and the Lord just overwhelmed me. Stop. I said, I'm going to have to stop right now. He wants me to pray for that woman and that woman to pray for her. And when I talked to her today, I told her exactly what happened to me. And I said, you will be healed because I did not do the choosing. He chose you, not me. And I just thank him. I thank him for the Lord.
Yeah, it's amazing how he can work when we get out of his way, isn't it? Even in our hearts, he gets to touch us. Shiloh's waving her hand. Robert, what have you got? 169. Then we'll go to Shiloh, and then I think it's going to be Pastor's turn. It's getting late. Is that all right? Can we stand while we sing this? Isn't it wonderful that he does the choosing? You know, I know I never would have chosen him. Never would have chosen him. Hallelujah. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and it told thy love. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. 298.
It's a little bit of a change.
Hallelujah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I seek, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
you, George and Gail. Thought I'd give you a little report on district council that we had this week. I know we prayed for it a couple Sunday nights ago that everything would go well, and just thought I'd give you just a quick report. We voted in a new district superintendent. Our previous one had resigned. Retired, actually. He retired. And maybe you remember him, Joel Pavia. He was here for our mortgage burning ceremony. He was also here for our 25th anniversary celebration. He was the speaker at the Coachman. And so you probably remember him. And he is retired, and Arden Adamson, who was the district secretary treasurer and also the director of home missions, was elected to be the new district superintendent. And that left a vacancy in the secretary treasurer department. And also, Arden Adamson was in charge of the home missions churches of our district. And so we had to elect a new secretary treasurer and home missions director. And a man from Green Bay, First Assembly in Green Bay, who has started two or three churches in the Green Bay area. His church has mothered them. Was elected to fill that position. And Wisconsin Northern Michigan District is on the cutting edge of home missions. We have one of the most aggressive church planting districts that there are, and they believe, and rightly so, in establishing the local church and helping those churches get started. And you know, our district has come a long way. When I first came back to Wisconsin after being in South Dakota for a while, the district was just then starting to be able to spend money on starting churches. They had been so financially strapped and heavily in debt that they didn't have the freedom to do that. But God has really blessed, and we're excited about that. And so I think that the Wisconsin Northern Michigan District will continue to be a leader in church planting, but also in foreign missions. Probably another significant thing that happened at District Council was this year was they started a new program called Fast Track. And the idea behind Fast Track is to get our missionaries to the field a lot faster. The average missionary spends about 18 months itinerating now, that's going from church to church trying to raise their support. And it's a long, tedious process, and some of them never do make it to budget. And so the goal of Fast Track is to have churches pledge money up front. Say that we would pledge $25 this year, and we would pledge that and would be on record at the district office. And the district office would then find new missionaries that are going to the field, and they would give them our $25 pledge without us actually seeing the missionary. And then after that, we can schedule the missionary for services, or just hope that we could get them to the field faster, and then maybe when they're on furlough, we'll get a chance to feel their heartbeat. And so I know that there's some questions about that. We like to see the missionaries that we support, but this is an effort to get them to the field faster. And I know that things probably need to be worked out, but there are some other districts that have started this, and they're able to get missionaries to the mission field in like 2 months. In some cases, where before it has taken 18 months, if not longer. So those are a couple of significant things that took place at District Council this year. And if you have any questions about that, I'd be happy to talk with you about that anymore, and Pastor Craig would too. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 3. Psalm 3. Warfare Ministries, Part 2, Reproducing Christ in Others. Actually, I should have had somebody handing these out while I was flapping my jaws here. Anybody want to help here? A couple of you? All right. Psalm 3. Let's go ahead and read the psalm while they're passing those out. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. I want us to notice especially verse 3 where it says, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Father, we thank you for this psalm this evening. We thank you for the prayer of David that has been recorded for us here. We pray, Lord, that we would find again insight into you and your traits and how you demonstrate those traits to people. And then again, that we would be conformed to your image and take on your traits. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We started this last week and we said that God's goal is to reproduce his life and the life of his son in us. Spiritual reproduction produces a measure of the image of God in man. And we are studying the Psalms for different traits of God. And then we are trying to become like God and applying those traits to our lives as well. We live in a world where spiritual warfare has now become normal. It is a normal part of our spiritual experience. We will study the traits of God's image that teach us how to minister to people in conflict. And today we are going to look at God as a defender. God as a defender. First of all, we see that the Lord is a shield and a buckler. Verse 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." I was focusing, even this afternoon, I was meditating on the second part of that verse. "For he is the lifter up of mine head." I saw that as God is our encourager. He lifts up our heads. Sometimes we hang our heads and we're down and we're depressed. God is the one who kind of picks us up by the chin, pulls our face upward, that we are able to look up. Sadness and dejection are two of the most powerful tactics of the evil inclination. Through them, the devil traps a person into losing the will and strength to overcome any obstacles. You've been there. You know that when you're depressed, when you're sad, you just don't have much strength to do anything else. These are two of Satan's greatest tools. And as a result, the person will fall deeper and deeper into the clutches of sadness and dejection. It's like we're in a hole and we have a hard time getting out of that hole. It can be explained with a parable of two people who are engaged in a battle. If one of the fighters is dejected and the other is happy and in good spirits, the happy person will be faster and will have more energy to win the battle, even if his opponent is stronger. The one who has the most joy, the one who has the most spirit, he is the one that will win the battle, even if his enemy is stronger. The feelings of dejection and sadness take away one's power. They take away your strength. It will cause you to utterly fail and to fall. Every person finds himself in the middle of a constant battle between good and evil. You're in it whether you like it or not. Good and evil surrounds us, and they are at war one with another, and we're caught in the middle of it. Therefore, a person must be on his guard to always make the right decisions. However, you have to be in control to make the right decisions. You never, ever make a life-changing decision when you are feeling rejected, when you are feeling dejected, and you are feeling depressed. Never, ever make critical decisions in those times in your life. You'll regret it. You will make wrong decisions. You have to be in control in order to make good decisions. And in order to be in full control, one must have joy and rely upon God to be the lifter of your head. So the Lord is a shield. He is a buckler. He is the lifter up of mine head. Psalm 18 in verse 30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." He is a shield, but he is also a buckler to those who trust in him. Scripture many times refers to God as a shield. The shield is one of the oldest forms of defense. In ancient times, shields were made of a tough crocodile hide, formed into the shape of an oval or of a door. Shields protected ancient armies, their troops from spears, swords, rocks, and arrows of the enemy. The Bible speaks of God being a shield to some, but not to others. You know that tonight, God is a shield for some. He is there as protection for some, but he's not there as a shield for others. God protects those who obey him, but God does not guard those necessarily who disobey his voice. So God is described as a shield to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." What a great way to think of God tonight. Think of him as our shield, as our protector. He shields us from spears and swords and rocks and the arrows of the enemy. Anything that the enemy would throw our way, the Lord is a shield to us to deflect those things. God said he was a shield to David in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. There are a number of things that he's listed there as being to David, but one of the things is he is a shield. God was a shield to Abraham, and God was a shield to David and others, but God was not a shield to Saul. He was not a shield to Saul when Saul became disobedient as king. 2 Samuel 1, 21, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. To further specify this truth, the Bible clearly states to whom God will shield. So you need to pay attention to these tonight. These are specific people that God will shield. God said he will shield those who serve him. He will be a shield to those who serve him. Psalm 33 and verse 20. God will be a shield to those who reverence him. Psalm 115 verse 11. Those who have the fear of the Lord. And deep reverence and awe for God. He said he would shield those. God said he will be a shield for those who walk in his truth. Reminded of what Proverbs tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. Truth is the most precious commodity. When you get the truth, hang on to the truth. God says he will shield those who walk in that truth. Those who are anointed with His Spirit, Psalm 84, 9. Those who trust in Him, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. And those who hold up their shield of faith. Ephesians 6, 16 tells us that we are to take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God will be a shield to us. Those, when these operate in our lives, the Lord will shield us. When we are in service, when we reverence Him, when we walk in His truth, when we are anointed with His Spirit, when we put our trust in Him, when we hold up our own shield of faith, God will shield us. Furthermore, if these qualities operate in believers' lives and in a balanced way toward their leaders, also, their leaders can be true shields to them as well. Just as God protects only the submitted, obedient, humble, and covenanted believers, the leader can only be a true shield to those who exercise these qualities. The Lord and His leaders want to protect people from the wiles of the devil. I wish I could protect everybody from the wiles of the devil. But the people have to allow themselves to be protected. It's really rather simple. Elementary, my dear Watson. You have to let somebody protect you if they're going to protect you. And only as you let leaders and those in authority protect you can they function as true shields. I often wonder about membership. You know, how far do you go that? Does God give a certain amount of more protection and more power to people who submit themselves as memberships under the local assembly of the church? I don't really know. I would encourage you to be members. I've heard pastors say that they were not able to help people in counseling them until the people actually became members of the church, and then they received insight from God on how to minister to those people. But, you know, you wonder why people don't like to submit to leaders and to authorities, even though there is protection there. Why don't they like to submit? You know what I think it is? Maybe I'll be meddling again here tonight, George. I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with accountability. People don't like to be kept accountable. And there are certain things that you have to do when you submit to people. And part of that submission is they hold you accountable. People don't like to be held accountable. Sometimes when we are held accountable, we fail miserably. And sometimes humorously. I just thought I'd throw some of these statements in tonight for fun. These are statements, actual statements found on insurance forms upon which drivers try to tell in the fewest words possible what happened in their accidents. Of course, they didn't want to be totally honest, maybe, about what happened. They didn't want to take responsibility for their actions. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree I don't have. A pedestrian hit me and went under my car. Here's a great one. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Or, I was thrown from my car as it left the road. I was later found in a ditch by some stray cows. Here's a telling one. The pedestrian had no idea which direction to run, so I ran him over. One more. I was on my way to the doctor with rear end trouble when my universal joint gave way, causing me to have an accident. Comedy writers can't come up with stuff that good. So we have to be a shield. We have to be a buckler for people, but we can only do that as they take accountability for their lives and as they submit to us as leaders. Then we can only be true shields. A leader is a spiritual shield to those who will submit through his spiritual teaching and counseling. In the days of Christ, shepherds of the flocks were literally the door to the sheepfolds. They'd have a wall there, and those shepherds would literally lay in the gap. They would be the door, and any predator that wanted to get to the sheep had to either go through the shepherd or had to try to somehow get over the wall. And usually they place thorns upon the top of the wall. And you know, we pray a lot of times for a hedge of thorns to be put around people. What do we do that? We pray that so it's placed there so that the enemy will not be able to get over the wall and get to the people that we are praying for, that we want protected. And the only other way to get in then for these predators was through the doorway. And what did Jesus say? I am the door. He's the good shepherd. Anything that wants to get to us has to go through him first. Isn't that good? And he defeats it. But even on a more personal level, leaders sometimes literally become the door for their flocks because we sometimes lay aside our own life's interests for the spiritual interests of our sheep. The buckler closely resembles the shield in its role in defense. The buckler was a light, round shield, usually held in the hand or strapped to the wrist of a soldier or of a bowman. The soldier not only carried a large shield, but also a small buckler. The buckler was the best quick defense against fiery darts, stones, and blazing torches that were hurled down from the wall of a besieged city. The buckler was usually made of wood overlaid with leather and anointed with oil to protect it from drying and cracking. The psalmist said that the Lord himself is a buckler to those who trust in him. The psalmist knew the value of having a small, mobile buckler at his side. He spent many weeks in and out of cities and caves eluding the hand of Saul, who was out to kill him. David had to be ready to defend himself at any moment. He had to be ready to defend himself instantly against enemies that might come unexpectedly from Saul or his armies. In these experiences, David found the Lord to be his source of protection. He found the Lord to be his buckler. The Lord was always there to help him. Just as quickly as he could call upon the name of God, God was there to save and to help. In the same way, we have to be a buckler for others who trust in us to be their help in time of need. As a door, shield, or buckler, we have to demonstrate the following character qualities. First of all, stability in the Lord. People need stability. They need stability in their lives. We have to set the example. We have to be stable. Love. Giving to others basic needs without having as my motive personal reward. Resiliency, the ability to be able to bounce back and to be resilient. To be bent but not broken. To be pulled but not snapped. Steadfastness. Over and over again in the Bible, the Lord commands us to remain fast, to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Grounded spiritually. We need people today who are grounded spiritually. Grounded in the Word of God, who are not tossed with every wind of doctrine, but know what they believe and why they believe it and are spiritually grounded in those truths. Loyalty. Loyalty is a big one in our day. We find people that are unloyal in every walk and situation of life. But we need to demonstrate loyalty and use people who are going through difficult times in their life, use those times to demonstrate our commitment to them and not to walk away from them. When they are in need of counseling or they're in need of help because of the spiritual attacks, we remain by their side. We are loyal to them. Trustworthiness. We need people who can be trusted. Dedication. People are totally dedicated themselves and their possessions and their lives on the altar of sacrifice to the Lord. Zeal. Jesus said, "The zeal of God's house has consumed me." That we would be zealous for the name of the Lord. Strength. Availability. Just being there when people need us. You know, it's not so much what you say in times of crisis as it is just being there for people. There are times I don't know, really know what to say. I wish I had the right words. I really do, and I pray for the right words to say, but I get the sense that at times just being there is more important than anything I could say. Flexibility. Flexibility. Realizing that because people have needs, my plans sometimes need to be altered and changed to be flexible. There are people in ancient times who climbed upon the city walls, and from those walls they would hurl rocks and they would hurl arrows and they would throw down spears, and they, as they marched upon the city, these armies, they would hold their shield up over their heads to protect them from the fiery darts and from the arrows and from the rocks that were being thrown at them. We need to take our shield of faith and lift it over our heads to protect us from the fiery darts of the enemy. And we need to be under the shield of somebody else, under somebody's authority, so that they can protect us from the enemy and his weapons that he throws at us. God is our shield, but we also need others to shield with us. The great picture there in the Roman army was that those soldiers got together, shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, and they marched against the kingdom that they were trying to conquer. What a beautiful picture of what the Christian army should be like. We should all be standing shoulder to shoulder, shield to shield, moving forward, pressing against the enemy. Being victorious and conquering. And then don't forget your buckler. Those are flare prayers sometimes we throw up. There isn't time to get out a great big shield of defense. But Lord, help me. Lord, I trust you to take care of this situation. And we'll find at those times that the Lord is our buckler. He is our shield and our buckler. And then God is a fortress and a high tower. He is a shield and a buckler. But number two, he is a fortress and a high tower. Psalm 18 and verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." The horn of my salvation and my high tower. In that verse, we find out that the Lord is both a fortress and a high tower. And those two figures are often linked together. A city fortress had a high tower in one corner. And even some ancient vineyards had a tower in the center of the vineyard. A fortress is a place of safety and security from the attacks of the enemy. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe."
In the natural realm, the high towers many times protected the outside walls of the city. It was used as a place from which arrows and stones could be hurled at the enemy. But also they had them in the countryside. And in the countryside, towers were erected to protect flocks, herds, and even roadways. Because there would be thieves along those roadways. And some would erect a high tower that would allow somebody to watch over the roadways. Now we need to fulfill these needs, and we can do that by the following ways. First of all, by defending the people of God by watching for the coming adversary, the devil. Do you know that we are to watch out, we are to look out one for another? And if we see danger coming somebody's way, we need to gently warn them about that danger. We are to be on the lookout for others. See how the enemy is trying to attack others. You know, that's what my job as a pastor is in one way. I see things that are coming down the road, coming that it is attacking God's people. And we warn about those things. We warn about false doctrines and heresies and just sometimes practices that are not healthy for God's people. We need to be on the lookout and defend the people of God by watching for the adversary. And then we need to cast the word, the Spirit, the name of Jesus, and prayers in the Spirit down at the devil to stop him. You know, you have that privilege today. You can do that as you're sitting up on your high tower and you see the devil trying to come and he's gonna come after somebody. You know what you can do? You can start casting the word down at him. You can start binding Satan in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can start praying in the name of Jesus to protect that person. You can start praying in the Spirit. The Spirit will help you with groanings that cannot be uttered. You can throw these things down at the devil and stop him before he attacks and before he hurts somebody. Protect God's flocks from the enemy's tactics to divide them. Safeguard the spiritual highways of God, including the highway of holiness. There are a number of highways that the Christian walks upon. You know, I'm concerned about this one right here. I'm concerned, very concerned about the highway of holiness. That's what concerns me about the Assemblies of God denomination, to be quite frank with you. Do you know that the Assemblies of God started out, Bob knows, as a holiness denomination? I'm frightened, quite honestly. I don't see much holiness in the Assemblies of God preached anymore. I don't see much holiness lived out in the lives of Assemblies of God people anymore. I'm concerned about holiness. When I see the way some people dress, I see the way some people talk, I see what kind of music they listen to, I'm concerned about holiness in our denomination. We need to take the high road. The high road is the road of holiness. And we need to protect that road. We need to sit up on our high tower and we need to look down and we need to see the enemies coming. And we need to protect the road of holiness. That the people of God could walk unhindered to the city of God. How many of you are on your way to the New Jerusalem? I want you to walk unhindered. I don't want you to have to fight the devil off at every corner. That we would be able to walk unhindered to the city of God. And then guard against the devil's attempts to rob God's vineyard. The devil's attempts to rob God's people from the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to rob you of the fruit. He's trying to rob you of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to steal your love, joy, peace, and faith, and on we could go. Guard against the devil's attack to rob the vineyard. Set the high tower up in the vineyard. And watch, and don't let the devil steal your love. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him rob you of the fruit, the precious fruit of God's Spirit. And then number three, God is a defense. That's wrong there in your outline. It's not defender, it's defense. God is a defense. Psalm 89 and verse 18, the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. The Bible declares that God is the defender of His people. God offers His people safety in the proclamation of His name over His possession, all of creation. Now, if God defends His people, we have to defend His people. To defend His people, we have to match God's actions and attitudes, or our actions and attitudes, with the biblical sense of defense and defend. We can do this. Just let me mention these quickly here. Be a shade and shadow to God's people. protecting them from the sun's harsh rays. Be a place where people can come and find shade and refreshment. Be as a bird who hovers over its nestlings. Be as a hedge to hem in a portion of the garden of God. Be a fortress of protection from attack. Be a shield to the people, warding off the fiery darts of the enemy. Be a canopy or a chamber in which people can find security and rest. Be as a governor who punishes wicked but rewards righteous. Give an honest account of ourselves to God and others. Make a legal plea for the rights of God's people before God and man. Be a peacemaker who clears difficulties for people. Finally, we are to be defenders of the faith and of the faithful. Six ways. We must be people of wisdom. We must be people of wisdom. Wisely applying spiritual principles and knowing the schemes of the enemy. Paul said that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. We are not ignorant of his schemes. We know his schemes. We know his tricks. We know his devices. And so on one hand, we need to be wise in applying the principles of God, but on the other hand, we need to be discerning and alert to the tricks of the enemy. Number two, we must keep our family in order and in unity. In this, we will mount a stronger defense for the families of the church against the attacks of the devil. It was brought out so well in Sunday school today, I can't even add to it. The attack today is on the family. And we need to set the example by having godly families. And a godly family is where it all begins. A godly family, families will build strong churches. Strong churches will build a strong nation. But it starts in the family. Number three, we must take pains to maintain a strong commitment to the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord will be a sure defense against our foe. Number four, we must stand in the presence of the Lord. God's presence or glory is a defense for the people of God as it was for Israel in the wilderness. Number five, we will do well if we remember to defend the same people that God defended throughout history, the poor and the fatherless. Number six, lead people to Jesus Christ, who is the greatest defender the church will ever have. Right, your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening. God is our defender. God is our defender. He is our shield and our buckler. He is our fortress and our high tower. He is our defense. Now the challenge, the call goes out to you and I this evening. If we are going to take on God's image, if we are going to take on God's traits, we also need to be a shield and buckler. We need to be a fortress and a high tower. We need to be a defense. And if you are up to the challenge, if you are willing to let God's grace work these traits in your life so that you can minister to people in spiritual conflict and you can be a defender as God is a defender, I wonder if you would just raise your hand up and then down, up to the Lord, up and then down. Lord, I'm taking this step further tonight. You can count on me when you try to reproduce others. Or you reproduce Christ in others, you can count on me to be a defender along with you. You can count on me to learn these traits. I'll do what I can in these areas. Praise God. Thank you for your hands tonight. Thank you for your hands. Thank you for your commitments to the Lord. Lord, you see these hands, and Lord, it's not always easy because it means involvement. It means that we have to get involved in people's lives. But I pray tonight that you would give us the grace that is needed to act as a defender for your people, even as you are a defender. Help us, Lord, to be a shield and a buckler. People can count on us to provide protection and a place of safety for them. Lord, give people grace to be a fortress, a high tower, to be alert and discerning to the attacks of the enemy, not only on our own lives, but on those in our families and those in the family of God. Lord, I pray tonight that you would save the family. Lord, that you would save godly homes. Lord, I pray that this truth of what a family really is would not continue to lose acceptance in our society. But Lord, as we've had a vote of confidence for what has happened in California, Lord, that we would just be able to move forward in that, strengthening family relationships and harmony. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there is any family that is experiencing disunity, and there's not harmony in their home, I pray, Lord, that they would make it right with each other, and that they would make it right with you, and there would be harmony in their home again, and there would be unity. And then, Lord, help us to be a defense. Help us to be a defense. Help us to defend the people of God. Help us, Lord, to know the power of your word and of your spirit and the power of the name of Jesus and the power of our prayers as we pray in the spirit, that we would pray down and stop the devil, stop the enemy. And Father, we do that even tonight. We bind Satan in the name and through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bind him. He would not be able to divide, that he would not be able to tear apart the highways, specifically tonight the highway of holiness, that he would not be able to rob your people of the fruit of the Spirit, but he would be bound and not be able to rob others of their love, joy, peace, and all of your precious fruit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Let's sing this song. I don't know if you know it or not. Oh Lord, you're a shield about me. Is this it? George, why don't you stay up here and help me lead it. Does anybody else know this? Oh Lord, you're a shield about me, the glory of my... Come and help us. We need some voices up here. It's really not a very difficult song.
You're my glory and the lifter of my head. You're my glory.
Amen. Remember that? He's your shield. He's your glory. And he's the lifter up of your head. Praise the Lord. Bob Shackleton, would you dismiss us? Ask the blessing on the food downstairs. Oh, just a second, Glenn.
I spoke to you last week.
Yes.
Things would like to be better. Get worse. Part of the girl who didn't cross the family. Again, another weekend. My parents are gone. And went through training. So she'd like
to be better. Okay. I forgot her name.
Melissa.
Melissa, would you care if we brought you up here? Okay, why don't you come up here, Melissa? Let's all join around her. She, right now, her mom and dad are not at home, either one, and praise the Lord that Malcine's have taken her in. So we just want to surround her with some love tonight. That's really what she needs.